Good morning. This feels weird using this with only us here today, but I love how intimate it is in here this morning, you guys. If you guys could just stand with me. Oh, it's been a night. My son didn't go to bed till 5 o'clock this morning, so Eric and I are running on fumes.
Bobby.
And what?
Bobby.
But there's something beautiful about that when, like, Saul talks about how in his weakness, God is made strong. And right now, I feel like that's this kind of a morning where in my weakness, I can either choose to dwell on where I'm feeling weak and be there in that fleshly moment, or I can allow God to come in and be strong for me today, because Lord knows I need him too. And so I just invite you guys to do the same. Like, if there's an area where you're just feeling like maybe not quite as up to par or in season, that you would just allow the Lord to take hold of that part and just give it to him. So Jesus, we just invite you to be here with us today. God, I know you already are, but Lord, that you would be here tangibly, that we would feel you moving. God, I thank you for the works that you do, for being constant and ever present, Lord. God, I thank you that in my weakness, when I'm tired, Father, that you are so strong and so awake. So we just lean into you this morning and we say, have your way today, God. We give you this service. We give you these songs as an incense of praise. Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you for the love that you exude towards your children. I thank you, God, that you call us by name and that you are intentional. We just love you, Father. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. You are amazing. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rain down on your children.
So what life is. a hurricane, I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how
out of my chest. I don't have time to think.
don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about heaven meets earth. Like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Yeah, he loves us. Yeah, he loves us. Yeah, he loves us. In my mind that he loves us. Yeah, he loves us. Yeah, he loves us.
Oh, how he loves us.
See, he loves me. Let's make this personal. Yeah, he loves me. Yeah, he loves. All of my mess, yes, he loves me, yes, he loves me, yes,
he loves me, yes, he loves me, oh, how he loves me.
One more time, he loves me, yeah,
he loves me, yeah, he loves me.
So, we go every day and we don't realize how much God loves us. And when we're singing this, I remember hearing this expression, yes, even me. And so when I'm singing how God loves me, we need to remember that, yes, even me. Think that, remember that he loves even you. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, his grace and his love is more than sufficient. It pours out overwhelmingly for us. And he loves us. He made us, and he made us to love us, and he made us to love him. So I don't know if anybody is dealing with that issue, thinking, why would God love me? Why would God die on the cross for me? Why would he even create me? And if you're dealing with any of that or have ever dealt with that, just know that when you open your heart to him, he and your eyes to him, He wants you to see him, and he wants to see all that he has for you. Yes, even you. Yes, even me. This service to you, Lord, and we just lift every heart here. And Lord, even those who are not here, Lord, we just pray for them, Lord, and we lift them to you, Lord, that they feel your presence and they feel your love, Lord. And as we hear the word today, Lord, let our hearts receive it. Let our minds be able to understand it so we can pour it out and feed others around us, Lord. Lord, bless those who are speaking today. Lord, let their mouths open and your words be spoken. And Lord, we just thank you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come and worship you every Sunday and any time that we want to worship you. Lord, thank you for this gathering. Lord, we pray your blessings over it. And in the sweet name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Yeah, take a moment. Greet one another.
Well, good morning. Good morning, family.
Oh, I am. I'm happy.
Well, that was pretty, not pathetic, but it wasn't very energetic. Good morning, family.
Good morning.
There we go. A little better. A little more alive. I know that we have a few that, as Nancy said, was up till 5:30 or something like that. That's crazy. He is a lively one, so evidently he didn't want to sleep last night. So we're going to go ahead and do our declaration for the city of Yakima. We still don't quite have our other one yet, our other declaration ready to go. So this one is good, though. How many know that declaring the blessing of God, declaring the plan of God over our city is a good thing to do, speaking life instead of death over our city. I encourage you to speak life over our country instead of death. It's really easy to be in conversations with people, and all they want to do is speak death over our country. Let's speak life, because we do have a hope in Christ that goes beyond political, parties, goes beyond political agendas, social unrest, all of that. We have a God that's greater than all of that. Amen. So let's just believe right now for the Lord to do a work in our city. Go ahead and stand with me. Nice and loud. We're to declare over Yakima. On three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Yes, amen. Yeah, Lord, we do. We declare, but we also pray right now, Lord, for our city. We pray, Lord, that you would just have your way. Lord, that your will would be done in lives and families. Lord, we know that there's people out there who have their own agendas. They have their own desires. They have their own plans. And Lord, some of those are resisting you, Lord. So we pray that you would just enter into their hearts, enter into their circumstances, Lord. Do whatever it takes, Lord, to turn them to you, Lord, the author of their life, Lord, the one that gives them breath, Lord. Help them to come to the realization and the truth that you are the source, that all good things come from you, that everything in life comes from you, Lord, that's good. And so we just release that over people's hearts and minds right now, Lord. We pray that the distractions that the enemy's brought into their lives, the entrapments, Lord, the lies, Lord, the barriers, the walls, the obstacles, Lord, that your angels, your forces from heaven would be released right now and break those down. Lord, that there would be a mighty, mighty war in the heavenlies right now for Yakima, Lord, that those that are in the balance, Lord, between the valley of decision of following you and following into their own plans, Lord, that they would turn towards you, Lord, that they would come to an awakening, Lord, awakening, God, to the things of God, awakening to you as their Savior and Lord. We just release this over hearts and minds right now in the Yakima Valley. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have a few announcements. Chili cook-off. We got to pass this around. I don't know if there's anybody. Oh, there might be somebody new here today. What we're going to do is on October 30th at 5 p.m., we're going to have a chili cook-off. So if you cook, if you don't cook, you can still maybe go to a family member or something, say, hey, help me cook a winning chili. You know, because this is an opportunity for us to gather together, enjoy some chili, but also to just see who's the best cook, huh? I'm on here, so yeah, but are you going to get on here or you're not gonna do it? Nope. The only one per family, is that what you're thinking? That'd be awfully busy in the kitchen. Are you going to cook a chili, Eric? You don't cook, huh? Oh, he's going to eat chili. Okay. And we have some judges that are coming in that will be non-biased. And so we can have a fair judgment. And whoever wins, I mean, Vicky is like is she the reigning champion now? You're tied. Okay. Well, it's probably a good thing that you're not cooking, because at least I have to compete with Vicky then, right? Or like, I don't know if my chili's going to be any good. It's not a competition. It's a love feast. Let's put it that way. Yeah, it's going to be a great time. So anyway, sign up. If you'd like to bring a dessert or a salad, go ahead and sign up. And I don't know if we'll see if someone else signs it up. Go ahead and pass her around. So that's 5 p.m. That's the 30th. That's the day before Halloween. It's on a Sunday. So I hope you can come, but also invite family and friends, because it should be a fun time. Should be some good food. There's going to be cornbread and other things. So we haven't really had like a really big feast like this since really COVID. So this should be a real fun time. Okay. All right. What else do we have here? Women's luncheon. Do you want to say something about that? Okay.
So on November 5th, Saturday, we're going to have a lunch just over here in the overflow room. So anybody that would like to come, we would love it. What we're going to do is have baked potatoes and ask that everybody just bring a baked potato topping, whatever you like, sour cream, cheese. We don't need to sign up. Just bring what you want, butter, whatever. And then Nancy and I are going to be demonstrating how to make our favorite soup. So Nancy is going to be on one end of the counter over there, and I'm going to be on the other. And so we're going to have, whoop, whoop, we're going to have fun. We're going to be voting for our favorite contestant, whoever, you know, and we're going to have soup and baked potatoes. So that's November 5th. And Nancy is going to be also bringing a word of encouragement, just a light devotion. So we hope you can come. And ladies, bring your sisters, your friends, your mothers, your daughters, your whoever. Just not husbands, no men, just girls, just us girls.
You can do this one too, since you've got the mic.
Thank you so much for giving to this house. We are so grateful for everyone that has it in their heart to give. And so you can give many ways. One way is here in this box. Another way is the box on the back in the foyer. Or you can go online at onelifefamilyworship.com and just click on the give button and you can give that way as well. So we thank everyone that gives to the house, that helps keep the lights on, pays the mortgage, and allows us to just be in our building. And so we thank you. Thank you so much for giving to help, you know, with the cost of the building. So.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Nope. Oh, you won't hold it. Okay. Don't want to get it too close to this mic, right? Go ahead and talk. Okay. Does anybody remember? What happened there? Does anybody remember what we're doing here the last 4 weeks? I just killed the. What's that? Grace. That was one of them. And I just, I don't know what I did. I turned the whole thing off. No, I got it. I just have to get it back to where it was. Yeah, I have been sharing on this basically three principles, the grace of God, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to talk about the love of God, but we're sharing from 2 Corinthians 13:14. Is the verses, and we're going to go ahead and look at those again.
New King James Version, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
And then 2 Corinthians 13:14, Amplified, the grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it.
Amen. So this is, and I think I've told you guys before, but this is a scripture that came to my heart as I was reading through my monthly reading of the Bible. And when I saw this, it's one of those deals that leaped out at me. It leaped out at me. And part of, I think, why the Lord does that is because, you know, you can read the Bible and you can read it for years, or you can just read it for the first time or read it for the second time or whatever it is. And it's like we get into like a mode like, oh, I've read that before. And, you know, and you just kind of read through it. And you can sometimes miss like what it's really saying, you know, like, you know, I don't know, most people probably can just quote John 3:16. You know, and they can say it, you know, and put it on a sign and they can quote it. But, you know, to meditate on that, you know, to say, okay, I'm going to take each word. I'm going to take each phrase. I'm going to take the meaning and try to let it go into my heart. And I haven't done that with John 3:16. Maybe I will do that. But I believe that's what the Lord wanted us to do with this. And so that's why we've been breaking it down. First of all, what is grace? What is the concept of grace? Well, we learned it's God's riches, you know, at Christ's expense, you know, and it's a gift that's been given to us. It's a free gift. We can't earn it. We can't do anything to deserve it. It's just been freely given to us. And then, you know, we went over last week, you know, what is love? The idea of love. And today we're going to actually look at the full concept and the love of God. And, you know, when I think of the love of God, I had a preconceived idea because, oh, I just thought it was God's love. And I think in these scriptures, we're going to see that the love of God is a little bit different. It's not just God's love to us, but it's God's love flowing through us. Mm-hmm. And it's how we respond to that love by how we respond by loving others. And I wouldn't have necessarily said that, 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. But let's go ahead and look at the first verse.
2 Thessalonians 3:5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ.
May the Lord Jesus Christ, direct what? Our hearts. Why our hearts? Well, because our hearts are the area of life that flows. It's the area of our life that where actually life flows out of. It's the center of who we are. And so if the love of God gets into our hearts, if our hearts become consumed with the love of God, then I believe we start fulfilling the love of God in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I shared last week how, for me to receive the love of God in the fullness by saying, Lord, you love me, like we were singing there, Yes, even me. Even me, Lord. Even in all my inadequacies, in all my failures, even in all my things that I've, have done that, I know don't please you, and things before the cross and things after the cross in my life, and things I maybe will do in the future. Even me, you love me, and that's because you are love. God is love. He is that is not just like a characteristic of him. That is who he is. He's love. I mean, if you had to describe God, a good word to describe God to someone, so describe God to me, love. Really simple. People not always can get all of it, but it's a great way to describe God instead of getting all this, well, he's here and there. I mean, he's in everything. You can start really describing God to the place where it just overwhelms people. But if you just say, God's love, and he loves you. Yeah, I don't know about that. Well, Whether you love him, he loves you. And I like this one. Whether you believe in God or not, he believes in you. He knows you. If you don't know him, he knows you. Right?
That's really good.
Yeah. So may the Lord direct your hearts. May the Lord direct our hearts. Lord, direct our hearts today. Lord, we give you permission to direct our hearts today to the love of God, to the steadfastness of Christ. We make that a prayer right now, Lord. Direct our hearts right now, Lord, to your love so that we can know that love and release that love to others. Here's another one. I love this scripture.
Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life.
So keep ourselves. So it's interesting that it's like we have a choice. It's like we have a part to participate in being in the love of God. Not that God loves us. See, that's how you can get it mistaken. You can start thinking, oh, you mean I got to do things so that God loves me? No. It's so that you let God's love work in you. That you let God's love have its perfect work in you. We'll read about that. There's a way to perfect God's love in us. And you're going to be surprised what it is. Maybe not. But yeah, keep yourselves. Again, Lord, we ask you to keep us. Keep us, Lord. Help us to learn how to keep ourselves, Lord, in the love of God. Mm-hmm. From a mindset, from a heart, from a desire, Lord, from an entire life way, a way of life, Lord, that keeps us in the love of God. We know this is necessary, Lord. We know that this is part of being Christ-like, Lord, is to release that love, even when we don't feel like it, especially when we don't feel like it, right? All right, let's look in the next
verse.
Oh, absolutely.
When it says keep yourselves in the love of God, that tells me that we can do the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
Like, keep yourselves in the love of God means that we could take ourselves out of the love of God. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it is truly a choice that we have. Mm-hmm. And what do you choose to do? Like, stand in his love or move away from that and then have to run back to it when life gets hard? That's a lot of exercise. If we were to just keep ourselves in his love, choose to keep ourselves in his love, waiting for the mercy that leads to eternal life, what peace do we have there?
Amen.
No matter what's going on around us, we can choose to keep ourselves in his love and have everything go bad. It's like, I remember long, long time ago, we had a special speaker. It was a lady, and she was talking about the pilot or the captain of the ship and who captains your ship. Is it God being the captain of your ship? Or are you trying to take away the wheel and do a lot of the steering and then get into a mess when there's a storm raging and have to hand it right back to him and say, oh, Lord, help, you know? What if we had just kept ourselves surrounded in him?
That's good.
It kind of reminds me of a Buckeye. Do you guys know what a Buckeye is?
It's some kind of football player.
No, it's Buckeyes, not a football player. There's Buckeye candies, there's Buckeye cookies, and this is what it is. It's a round piece of sweet peanut butter in chocolate, whether it be a chocolate baked in a chocolate cookie or dipped in chocolate. And it just comes up around to where you can still see the peanut butter, but you can see the chocolate around it.
Why haven't you made those?
Okay, wait, listen. Listen. The reason I'm saying that is because a Buckeye candy or cookie or whatever is surrounded.
Yeah.
What are we surrounded in? What do we have around us that, I mean, that chocolate is good. Well, Jesus is good. What's around you? What surrounds you? Now, I don't know about y'all, but as a woman, chocolate is a necessity for me. Like, I haven't had it in quite a while, but I've thought about it almost every day. Because I just think, if I just had one little, you know those little squares, the miniatures that they make? I just had one, and I could just melt it on my tongue and just have that chocolate just kind of ooze out. I mean, it is ultimate love. Ultimate wonderful. That's what Jesus is. Ultimate wonderful. That's surrounding me. So whenever you think about being surrounded, think about that Buckeye. I wish we could put a picture of a Buckeye up there so y'all could see it. But anyway,
yeah, that would take a little bit. No, that's good. Let you know, and you know, the idea though that, you know, because peanut butter is pretty good. I mean, you know, and it's not bad, but it's like
when the chocolate
makes that peanut butter into something else, and that's what God's love does for us. It makes us into something else.
Yeah.
You know, we might be okay a little bit on our own, but you surround us with the love of God.
Yeah,
and we help change. And
right.
The thing is like I've said before, is that when we surround ourselves with the love of God, we become desirable to others too. People want us and what we have.
You start reading the next one, please.
Yep. This is 1 John 1-3. We're going to kind of define now what the love of God is. We heard about keeping ourselves and desiring the love of God and having our hearts directed into the love of God. But what really is this love of God that we're talking about? 1 John 5:1-3. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. In other words, if we love the Father, then truly love the Father, we're going to love those mm-hmm. who are his. Mm-hmm. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is love. This is the love of God. So when I see something that says this is in the Bible, mm-hmm. I say, whoa, that's kind of a definition. Because when something, this is that, don't you guys kind of think of, okay, so listen to what the definition is. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So, wow, now we're down to keeping commandments to show the love of God. I thought we weren't supposed to be worried about rules and regulations. Well, we talked a little bit about last week about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, on these two commandments, what is fulfilled? The law. You fulfill the law. So what is really the commandments? The commandments is loving God and loving people. And when we do that, we're in the love of God. Oh, she found it right there. Okay. You're going to turn around. Yeah. You got to show him.
Okay, y'all.
He's got to show you. She's like, she's on this Buckeye.
You guys are going to get this.
Can you see him? Candy of Ohio? That's where the Buckeye's from. That makes sense, doesn't it?
So our daughter's kids love
Jesse's
these.
Jesse's trying to keep me from...
Because they lived in Ohio, and so they learned to love these. And so when I would go back to Ohio, they would get the very best ones there were. And I would come in, and I would say, oh, sweet Jesus, there's those Buckeyes. Like, they're good. So if Jesus surrounds you, you're good.
So eating this is part of the commandments? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not going to go that far.
Well, we're in commandments. You brought that up. So I thought, well, maybe we could throw that in. But no, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Why are they not burdensome? Because it flows out of a life that's already been given to us. Like we said last week, we're not going to get any more of the love of God in us than we already have.
Yeah, right.
So what does that mean? We have to let the love of God work in us. Mm-hmm. That means that when we want to respond to somebody in hatred or respond to somebody in anger or resentment or greed or whatever it is, we pause and we say, no, you know what? This is not truly who I am. You know, it's like counting to 10, you know, to count to 10. Well, when you count to 10, what you're doing is you're stopping from reacting. And as Christians, if we're stopping and just slowing down and letting 10 seconds go by, let's remember that we're Christ's and that he lives in us and that his love lives in us. And so we don't have to respond the way that we want to respond in our natural selves.
Right.
We have God in us. Here's another scripture. You want to read this one?
2:3-5. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him.
So if we keep his word... And we know that his word is like his commandments, and we know that they're not burdensome. So it means that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So we can carry this because his yoke is him. His yoke is his love. And when we take that love and we let it work in us, it perfects love of God in us, perfects the love of God in us. Whoever keeps his word in him truly, the love of God is perfected. You want the love of God perfected in you? Then start letting that truth flow instead of just your natural selves all the time. Bring your thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Say, you know what? I know how I want to respond in this situation. I know what I want to say. I know what I want to do. I know how I want to react to this person right now. But I'm going to let that love have its perfect work in me right now. And I'm going to give this person unconditional love. That means they don't deserve me to be kind to them. They don't deserve me to be considerate in this situation. They deserve me to, if it's somebody that you're driving down the road and they cut you off, you know, you want to go around them and cut them off, you know. That's a, you know, an example, you know, for those of you who drive. For those of you who don't drive, welcome to the freeways. You'll learn someday what it means. But I mean that the love of God that's in me, I give you permission now to let this situation be controlled by you. But you have to purpose to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to think ahead of time that you're willing to do that. Because if you're just like, oh yeah, that sounds a good idea, I might do that sometime. Well, you probably won't do it. But if you today go home, or if you're sitting there right now, say, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me. Because Pastor Mike's saying this is possible. I don't have to be a jerk. I don't have to, you know, just respond to somebody in hatred and anger and revenge. I can respond like you would to them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They just hung him on a cross. They just put spikes through his hands and his feet. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's love. That's what I'm talking about. And Jesus was still in the midst of the pain. The pain hadn't already, you know, it wasn't like, you know, after he was resurrected and he was, you know, then saying, you know, he was saying it right in the midst of it. And we have that same Christ living in us right now. We have that same capability of responding to the world that's beating us down, that's calling us names, that, you know, and we don't know what's going to happen in the future. I've heard some crazy things about things that are happening to Christians all over the United States, Canada, other places that seem to be places of freedom. And so we don't know what's coming in the coming days. We don't know what kind of persecution we may suffer. But wouldn't it be amazing if in the midst of horrendous persecution, we don't shake our fists at them. We lift our hands to heaven and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah. Forgive them, Lord, because you forgave me. You demonstrated your love to me. Here's another verse. I have quite a few verses today. Hopefully we'll get through them.
Could you explain what the word propitiation means before we read it out in Scripture?
Propitiation. Well, it means like a payment that was made for somebody that, let's say this. Let's say you had a debt that you owed, mm-hmm. okay, and for whatever reason you couldn't pay it. Or let's say Alex has a debt that he couldn't pay. Let's say it's a really huge debt. And someone comes to him and says, Alex, I'm going to pay that for you. And he goes, well, I don't know who you are. Why are you going to pay this for me? Just because my heart is for you. You know, when I saw you, my heart went out to you, and I'm going to pay this debt for you. And so he pays the debt for him. The debt's covered. And, you know, Alex goes, oh, well, I'll pay you back, you know. I'll pay you back. I'll make sure that, you know, you get your money back. No, and the person says, no, you don't pay me back. You don't pay me back because I did this out of love. Mm-hmm. That's propitiation. Jesus on the cross. He paid the price for our sins.
Okay. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
The payment.
Mm-hmm. The payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
This is a lot.
It is.
This is a lot. And this actually, above it says, this is where beloved love one another, I think is above this part, but it says, in this, the love of God was made manifest. The word manifest means was revealed. Mm-hmm. In what? That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So God's love, the love of God, this love that we're supposed to also display as a characteristic of who we are in Christ and as a result of our accepting him into our lives mm-hmm. and receiving his love into our lives. That was because, and it was manifest, revealed to us by God sending his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And he sent him into the world to do what? Save the world. To die. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was Jesus' main mission. Along the way, he did mighty miracles. He loved people and he showed everything. But Jesus' main task was to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the payment for what we owed because of the fall of mankind. So then it says, and in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. There's another scripture. I think I have it in here. I'll just show it right here because it goes with it. It says here in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean? It means that we have love because God first loved us. Mm-hmm. Not that we have conjured up love in ourselves. When I'm telling you guys, you know, to pause and say, Lord, your love is in me. It's not that you're trying to conjure something up. It's trying you're trying to let something that's in you now have its way. You know, we can't manufacture this love. It's impossible. I mean, we can try to be patient and we can do our best and, you know, and in our own self, okay, this is what God says to do, so I'm going to try to do this. But I'm telling you, you're going to fail if you try to do it in your own strength. I mean, you might be able to do it a couple times, but after a while, you're going to say, this is nonsense, you know. But if you're doing it in his love that you've received, and by faith, you're stepping out and saying, Lord, you love me, so I'm going to love others, and I'm going to let this be an act of total devotion and faith to you. In other words, you're putting it in his hand. I commit this situation into your hands, Lord, so I ask you to direct me in your love. Let my heart be guided into your love in this situation. Mm-hmm. Not just, you know, I mean, we all say, Lord, guide our hearts into love. It's so easy to say that, isn't it? Guide our hearts into love. And then we go out and we just start living life and, you know, and running over people when they get in our way, or shaking our fist, or yelling at somebody when they've said something to us. This is something that we have to purpose and practice. I believe being in the love of God is like a work of our faith. It's like something we constantly continue to do.
Mm-hmm. When I was reading this before church, and reading over the scriptures, I was reminded of a time, a long time ago, when you did a particular skit as a clown. He was a professional clown, by the way.
Not professional. I never got paid, but...
Yeah, but he had, like, professional hat, the whole thing.
It's like a $400
shoes,
suit.
Yeah. This, a $400 suit. Shoes this big that we paid over $100 for. A big yellow hat that made him even taller. I mean...
El Grande was my name.
He was the clown. The big clown. But he did a skit. And it was a pantomime skit with Tenise Cook.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a pantomime skit...
About the gift or something?
It was the heart.
Oh, yeah.
And how this clown, which was Tenise, was holding this heart very close to her. And it had been hurt, and it had been broken. And so you could tell she was like holding it with two hands. And in skips a clown. And the clown says, let me, you know, give it to me. Not saying a word, but, you know, pantomiming, give it to me. And she was like, been there, done that, got the t-shirt on it. No, not giving you my heart. It's like the other girl.
Please.
You know, give it to me. And finally, she reluctantly gives the heart to this clown. And the clown starts playing.
Toss with the heart.
Catch it, you know, like this. And then the last time he threw it up, he split his hands open when it came down and it went splat on the ground. And Tenise, the other clown, is like, no, you broke my heart. Like, how could you? And so she's scraping up all the pieces and bringing it back to herself. And this clown skips away like nothing happened, no big deal. And they go over this a few times, and then another clown comes in. And the clown says, give me your heart. And she's like, like not going to happen, like. She turns her back on him, like she's holding this heart. I'm not going to give it to you. And this clown, who it just has this aura of them, that there's something different in this clown than all the other clowns. And finally, this clown is like, give me your heart. And she finally gives it. And he lifts this heart up and gives it to Jesus and then brings his hands down and wraps the arm of the clown around his arm, and they walk off, slowly off, out, with holding Jesus' hand, and they all walk off together, the three of them. That's what he's talking about, you guys.
That's
if
so
you
good.
Think about it. It's like we have the opportunity to hold the heart of a broken person. It may be your coworker, maybe your kid. It may be your friend. It may be your ex. It may be somebody that does not know love. And the only way they're going to know love is if we together give their heart up to Jesus, the only one that is trustworthy. So when I read this, all I could think about was people want to trust.
Yeah.
I want to trust. You really want to trust. But sometimes when you've gone through hurts of life, the pain of life, the brokenness of life, it's like, can I even trust again? Can I even, now I'm going to go out on a limb, can I even trust God again? But let me tell you, you can. Because that's our only hope.
Yeah.
Is the hope of Christ, the love of Christ. And so that's what we're talking about here. If God so loved us, we also ought to love
one
another.
That's so good. Ephesians 5:1-2. This is an encouragement again.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Amen. So, be imitators of God. What does that mean? Like he is, that's how we should be as beloved children, walking in love and as Christ loved us. Here's another verse, 1 John 3:16-18.
By this we know that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and see his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth.
Yeah, it's like James right there, because basically the idea is that we don't just say, oh, be well and be fed and let somebody go. If we have the love of God in us, we should have compassion for them. We should have love for their situation, care, compassion, charity for their situation, indeed and in truth. So God's love abiding in us, the love of God, if we are seeing others in need and we're seeing our brethren especially in need, and we don't care, then there's a question. Is something not right in us? We should ask. You know, if we don't feel any compassion for people ever, we should say, Lord, what's going on with my heart? Is your love operating in me? Am I letting your love have its perfect way in me? Or have I let pain and hurts and stuff happen? Yeah. I mean, it can happen. You know, you can do that where you're loving in God, but then people stomp on you a few times and you can get to the place like Denise did, holding her heart. Even though she knows to give it to Jesus, like, oh, I don't think I can do this again. It hurts too much, you know. Here's Jesus. He's responding to the Pharisees about something. Let's look at this.
Luke 11:42. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others.
This is part of those great woes that Jesus does about the Pharisees. But he's saying, listen, you tithe, you give money, you do all those things, outside looks good, but you're neglecting justice and the love of God. What is he saying? You're not loving people. You know, obviously they weren't loving God, they're showing the love of God because they were wanting to crucify him, but that, you know, they're that true nature of who God wanted them to be wasn't happening. They looked good. They smelled good. You know, they probably were admired by many others. Like, oh, those people are amazing. But as Jesus says, inside they were dead man's bones.
Right.
They were like tombs. You know, they were whitewashed sepulchers. I mean, those are things that he said about them because the love of God and justice wasn't working in them. Mm-hmm. All right. A couple more scriptures. Like 30. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. This is Romans 5. These last few scriptures I wanted us to know, because you're saying, Pastor, this love of God, how am I going to do this? I just don't. Well, I want you to know that you can do this because God is the initiator of the love. And if we receive his love into our lives with truth and honesty, you know, even me, like we were singing, he loves me, even me, not just you across the hall, you know, who I know worships God, you know, and you have your hands lifted up or it looks like everything's going well. No, even me, you love even me, Lord. When you let that happen, then that's when God's love can work in your life. Go ahead.
Romans 5:5-8. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Yeah, just hold on a second. So, whose love?
God's love.
God's love. Not your love. God's love has been what?
Poured
sprinkled
out.
Into our hearts. Mm-hmm. We've all gotten like little sprinkles of God's love.
No.
No, it doesn't say that.
Poured out.
Oh, portioned out.
No.
Like you can have some love, you can have some love, you can have some. No, poured out. In other words, when something's pouring, you have to be careful to what? Not overflow, right? To me, pouring sounds like it's gushing. To me, pouring sounds like it's a flow. It's been poured into our hearts. So where is it? Why isn't it visible to the world? Why isn't the world being transformed by this love that's in us? Well, it's because we need to start living in the love of God. First of all, for ourselves, because you can't love others more than you love yourself. It says that. Love others as you what? Love yourself. And a lot of Christians don't love themselves. A lot of Christians are condemned, are, you know, hiding. They're being silent, you know, in their prayers because they just don't feel that they have earned or deserved any of it. Well, they haven't. Mm-hmm. So we need to let people know, Christians and non-Christians alike, that God loves them. And that he doesn't just, it's not just a saying, it's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's the next one?
Verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, or still sinners, Christ died for us.
I absolutely love this verse because it says it all. It says, God didn't love us after we got all cleaned up. God didn't love us after we got our act together and, oh, now I can love you. You know, you finally got it all together. No, he loved us when we were at our worst. I mean, it's almost like we receive this love when we're first saved. It's like, oh, I can't believe it, you know, and that he loves me and or that I'm saved or what, however it comes into our heart. But then after a while, it's like it becomes corrupted. We don't remember that it was all about love, that it was that's what God centered on us about was love. Mm-hmm. And that because he loves us, we should be able to love others. One more verse.
Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered.
So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What does he say? What's the answer to that?
Oh, well.
No, none right. of it. No, it shouldn't.
No, okay, well, hold on. Let me finish reading. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So who can separate us from the love
nothing,
of God?
Nothing. No one.
No one.
Nada.
Yeah. Nada. Yeah. Not, there's nothing that can separate us from God's love. So what is that saying? That means that we always can have the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now, before I was saved, I didn't know about the love of God. Did you?
Mm-mm.
I didn't know about the love of God. But do we know it now? Should we know it now?
We should.
Yes. Should we remember it now? We're to have our hearts directed into the love of God. We're to keep ourselves in the love of God. If that's the truth, then we need to remember constantly that we're loved. Like I said last week, you know, how I, you know, got wrecked, I believe, in my heart was just to say, Jesus loves me. Mm-hmm. God, you love me. I don't know why. I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it. You know, I wouldn't love myself at times. I don't love myself at times, but God, you love me unconditionally. You love me in my darkest times. You love me in my greatest times. You just love me. And as I went through that, you know what? His love started penetrating the darkness. Mm-hmm. And his love started flowing to others freely. As I freely received his love, it was so easy to freely release his love. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's there for any of us. It's not like something, oh, Pastor Mike, you know, I've heard some people say, Pastor Mike, you have so much grace. No, that wasn't me before Christ. I didn't have so much grace. Even some of my years in Christ, I didn't have much grace. I mean, you know, I'm the person that called up somebody at home, a banker, and I started yelling at them when I didn't even know the full condition, right? You remember mm-hmm. that?
I do.
And because I knew somebody that had a loan, and I knew this person personally, so I called him up, and I started railing into him, and they said, you don't know the circumstances here. But it didn't matter to me at the time because, you know, I didn't have the grace then at that time. But as I've received grace, you know, as I've received love, it's easier to give. Some people say, well, Pastor, you're just 60. You've just mellowed out. Well, I mean, it's possible that's it, you know, that there's some mellowing
He's
out.
He's 62.
62. Yeah, almost. Yeah, 63. 62 and a half, if you want to be for sure. But no, it, you know, yeah. But it started happening before I was 60, and it's been a work. But I'm telling you, you don't have to wait years to say, oh, I finally have grace that I can give to people. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's available, but you have to receive it for yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to start walking in this love yourself. When you make mistakes, you have to say, no, you know what? That's not who I am. I'm loved. And because I'm loved, I don't have to live this way. Mm-hmm. Because I'm loved, I don't have to maintain the same behavior. Right. Because I'm loved, I don't have to treat others like this. But you have to keep yourselves in the love. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word, Lord, you've put in our hearts, Lord, that we are loved by you, Lord, and you demonstrated your love to us, Lord, while we were still sinners. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that being a vessel of love, being a being of love is not impossible, Lord, because you loved us. Because you loved us, Lord, we can now live and exist in the love of God. We can be ones who demonstrate the love of God just as you demonstrated it to us. Lord, as we deal with people, Lord, that haven't earned our love, Lord, we can still give it. Lord, we can to those that even rejected, Lord, us, we can still give them the love of God because your love dwells in us. It was poured into our hearts. Lord, this isn't a work that we've done ourselves. Your love was poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we choose to let your love have its perfect work in us. We choose to let your love, Lord, transform and change us to be more like Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. Oh, how you love us. Amen.
thank you for the love that you pour out on a daily basis for your children. God, I just pray for every heart in this place that they'd be able to receive your love. At any point in their day this week, if they're feeling less than or they're feeling like they're unlovable, God, I just pray that you, Father, would just give them a touch from heaven. God, we thank you that your love, God, is nothing that we could earn. It's nothing that we deserve. It's nothing that we can work harder for, God, but that you just freely give it. God, I just pray that this revelation of your love would just continue to grow inside of each and every one of us, God. Pray, God, that we would be the love of Christ, Lord, to those around us, God. Lord, not only we would receive your love, but we would give your love out, God. For those, Lord, that we're struggling with, for those, Lord, that rub us the wrong way, Lord, that we would just exude love to your people. And we just thank you, Father God, for all of these things. And we just praise your name in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Love you guys. Have a great week.
So my song will be never ending.